You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, and today's show is going to focus on the Week 1 matchup between the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, we've reached another regular season. We've made it through an offseason, through preseason, through training camp, through all of that, and now we get to real football that really matters. Today's show is going to feature a pretty special interview I'm really excited to have as a guest for you a little bit later on. Mike Sando of The Athletic, longtime NFL writer, and Mike and I will talk about a few things. We'll talk about the Giants, we'll talk about Eli Manning, we'll talk about George Young. Mike happens to be one of the Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, so that will be a really interesting conversation that I hope you'll enjoy. A couple of things I wanted to hit before we get to that. Obviously, we know that over the weekend, the Giants set their 53-man roster, and then they made a couple of changes on Sunday. Some of those drew the ire of Giants fans. I don't want to belabor those. They're a little bit old at this point. If you really want my take on some of those, you can go to bigblueview.com and look at my analysis of the 53-man roster. Obviously, the decisions that really upset people were keeping Alex Taney on the roster and cutting Alonzo Russell. And I pretty much give you my reasons for why those decisions were made. Also, we know now that Ezekiel Elliott will be available for the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. Zeke finally signed his mega contract with Dallas this week. If anyone is surprised by that, I don't know what to tell you because I'm certainly not surprised. Pretty much knew all along that this is how it was going to play out, that Zeke would be signed and ready to go by the time the regular season started. So we'll see how much he plays. I would expect, Dallas will say, oh, he'll play a limited number of snaps. And my guess is we're going to see a whole lot more of Zeke Elliott than the quote-unquote plan would indicate. Also, just wanted to mention, this will be the 16th season for Eli Manning as a New York Giant. And no matter what you think of Eli at this point, 16 seasons is something that deserves to be honored. No Giants player has lasted that long. Credit to Eli for still being there. Cross your fingers. At least I'm crossing mine and hoping that the year turns out well for Eli. We know that it's going to be a somewhat controversial year, no matter what, because you have Daniel Jones as the quarterback in waiting. And of course, at some point, whether it be this year or next year, the Giants have to turn over the reins to Daniel Jones. And we'll see how all of that plays out. Much of that is going to depend on whether the Giants win games or not. And we'll see how it plays out. I've said before, I think that Manning stays as the quarterback as long as the Giants are in reasonable playoff contention. And we'll just have to wait and see if I'm right about that. Anyway, Giants fans, let's do this. Let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsors, And then we'll come right back with my interview with Mike Sando of The Athletic.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Giants fans, I'm joined now by Mike Sando of The Athletic as we continue to break down the Giants in advance of Sunday's season opening game against the Dallas Cowboys. Mike, thank you much for joining me, and how you doing today?
Good to be here, Ed. Yeah, looking forward to another season. This is probably, 21 for me. So I've lasted this long, and I guess, we'll see how much more we can go.
There you go. This is 12 for me covering the Giants, and if you do the math, that takes us back to 2007 when Big Blue View was created. So I always say that we take credit for the Giants' 2007 Super Bowl, but we don't take any blame for anything bad that's happened the last few years.
It has been a little bit of a rough run, but I think any fan who's been with a team that hasn't won championships would say, all right, for two championships, or, would I put up with a bunch of bad? For sure, because a lot of teams just have a bunch of bad, and the Giants have a great history. And I think the question now is, can they get back to that, or do they really need a full reset? It's been an off season of change, but, they haven't necessarily changed the organization structurally, right? And right. I think that's kind of the debate is, could they do that,
Right. And I know that you were not a fan of the various moves that the Giants made this offseason. Obviously, the biggest one was getting...
We'll see.
That's where I was going to go. I was going to ask you, I know that you weren't a big fan initially. Mm-hmm. And what I was going to ask you was, now that we've gone through training camp, we've gone through the preseason... I was going to say, where do you stand on what the Giants have done to this point now that you've seen a little bit of it?
Well, I think things have died down a little bit. For a while there, it was just confusing because it didn't seem like they were communicating what the plan was. They don't have to, but sometimes it helps. And then there was just a lot of things changing. Obviously, the pivot on Odell Beckham, some of the signings, some of the trades, the speculation around the draft. It was a little chaotic. I feel like it's calmed down a little bit. And I think that was somewhat of the point of, moving on from Beckham. Now, do they have enough to be a good team this year? I don't think so, probably. But it's not all about this year either, too. I think they're trying to do this for the long term. So the longer now that time goes by and the waves that were made this offseason sort of settle down in the pond, you may start to feel better about it, starting with, what do they have at quarterback and how's that going to play out? How well is Eli going to play? How patient will they be? Will Daniel Jones be ready? How does he look? Those questions will answer themselves and really inform us on how we should feel about the changes they've made.
Yeah, it's tough right now because we talk a lot about, or Giants fans talk a lot about improvement, and the Giants say, well, we feel better about this roster. And people ask me, well, how would you judge improvement for the Giants? And I find that to be a difficult question simply because it might include a quarterback transition. And if it includes a quarterback transition, then I don't know how you actually measure it.
Yeah, well, to me, do you feel good about the future and you want to see more? You know, so if it's just a, you know, 16 games of Eli and they finish 7-9, I mean, that doesn't feel great to me, does it to you?
No, it doesn't. Actually, it's funny because I was talking about that with someone else earlier today, and that's kind of like purgatory for me, is 16 games of Eli that doesn't quite make the playoffs.
Yeah, and even if, let's just say, Eli was decent, you know what I mean? Let's just say he had, you know, not a Pro Bowl year, but he had a legitimate, decent starter year. I mean, to me, I feel like, you know, with all due respect to him, we've seen that, right? And unless the team's going to be great around him and you're going to really make a run through the playoffs, I think you want to feel like, okay, they've turned a page here, and it's not just the last 3 years sort of different versions of them, you know? And it's painful to do for an organization to move on from, you know, a quarterback who's been there a long time. But what it, I think if he plays just well enough to go 16 more games, I don't know that I feel great about it.
No, I hear you. And, Mike, you know, one of the things that I definitely wanted to get into with you, I'm not sure folks know, but you are one of the Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, and that leads naturally, when we talk about Eli Manning, into the Eli Manning, is he or is he not a Hall of Famer discussion. If you had to vote on that today, where would you come down?
Well, certainly, I am so respectful of the process that I'm not a big, this guy is not a Hall of Famer, put this guy in. I think we have to get in there and talk about it. I'm open-minded on all the guys. I've gone into the room thinking that, not knowing I was going to vote for somebody, and I did. I'm not closed-minded at all. I feel like I need to be convinced a little more. Now, I've had great discussions with you know, friends of mine in the business who cover the Giants, and we've gone back and forth, but I have not felt like, even though you get away those two championships, I've never really felt like he was one of the best five quarterbacks in the league, almost in a given year, let alone over time, right? And so for me, when I'm evaluating Hall of Fame players, I think this is the best of the best. I mean, this guy was the best at his position, certainly in a season, but, you know, in the top two or three for a long time at his position. That's sort of what I'm conditioned to. That's the lens I see him through. So it's so fascinating to me with Eli because he came in with Philip Rivers. And I feel like Philip Rivers has been, at times, certainly a top five quarterback, sometimes a top two or three, but he hasn't had the team success, you know, to the same degree in the playoffs. He hasn't had the hot run in the playoffs. So how do you weigh all of those things? I'd be interested in your sort of view on Eli. Do you lean towards that he should? And do you agree with me that he's never really been one of the best quarterbacks?
Well, I'm going to answer the second part of that first. And it's funny, this is my show and you're putting me on the spot. What is that all about?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's a good discussion. I'm open-minded and I want to hear because, you know, I think that's, we have to be fair, honorable to the process and fair to the player. I mean, it's, you know, Eli Manning hasn't even retired. I can't be saying that he's not going to make the Hall of Fame. I haven't decided, but I would like to be convinced more.
Right. And I think I agree with you about Eli when you say that he hasn't been one of the, you know, you do the quarterback tiers thing. And I think that over the course of his career, there probably haven't been a lot of years where you would put him in tier one. And I think that's the general consensus around the league. What he's done is he's been good at times. He's been good, but not great. He's been great at the right moments for me. And I'm like you. I'm fascinated as to how this is all going to play out. And we'll see what happens this year. I think it would have been easy to make a case for Eli Manning as a Hall of Famer if if we had been talking about this in 2012.
Yeah, possibly. I think also, you know, he had a couple good seasons after that, at least statistical seasons, right? 2014, 2015. He was sort of getting into that, you know, 30-plus touchdowns, you know, not too many interceptions, I think under 15. And you start stacking those, I think it helps. And I feel like over the last couple years, Phillip Rivers has enhanced his case by having some really good seasons. And they won only, I think, one playoff game last year. But I felt like if he could, you know, get to the Super Bowl and win it with these great seasons he's having at the end, that might push him in. I feel for Eli Manning almost like, you know, he could use a couple years like that, right? Couldn't he use a couple seasons where he's just spinning the ball and carrying the team? He's done it in the big moments, but I've always felt like they were a team that had great defense, run game, and then he elevated and rose up and got him over the top, but wasn't so much the driving force of the success as some of the other, you know, top quarterbacks have been during his time.
Right. I guess what I've always felt about Eli is when you look at Eli, you look at Aaron Rodgers, you look at Tom Brady, you look at even, you know, at his brother, there's a difference with a type of quarterback who elevates bad to mediocre talent that's around him. Eli, to me, is not that guy. He's a guy who, for me, has always risen to the moment, has always taken advantage of opportunity when it's, you know, when he's had those things around him that we've talked about. So for me, that's the difference. Yeah. About a guy that you'd put in tier one. He's never, for me, been a guy who can carry a bad to mediocre football team.
Yep, I felt that way too. And now in the Hall of Fame bylaws, it doesn't say, hey, you have to be in tier one or you have to be able to carry a mediocre ball club. It just says, are you a Hall of Famer, right? And so there are people who could reasonably say, hey, you know what? This guy's been a consistently good player for a long time. And what's the goal here? It's to win championships. And he has played his best in a couple of those runs. And they didn't just, you know, beat the worst teams that ever made it to the Super Bowl. I mean, they're beating the undefeated Patriots. I mean, you can't take that away from them, right? I mean, that elevates him. That separates him from a Phillip Rivers, right? You could make that case. I think some people will make that case. And I think it's a case that has to be considered. That's why I say I have an open mind. I feel like with most of these guys, you know, so I've been a Hall of Fame presenter and I live in the Seattle area, so I present people from the Seahawks market. Well, Walter Jones was unquestionably like the best left tackle in the game for many years. We put him in, right?
Right.
Oh, that's without, sort of the way right. that I look at it.
Right. right.
So
but are Steve
Hutchinson is who I'm advocating for now. I mean, he was clearly, people thought he was the best guard for a long time, you know?
Right. It's what makes this so fascinating and so hard because I see both sides of it and yeah. You know, nobody that's ever won two Super Bowls to this point has not, as a quarterback, has not made the Hall of Fame. And yet
Jim Plunkett.
Well, that's true. I forgot about Plunkett, but still, you know, you have that argument, and I would love to be a fly on the wall when the debate starts.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, I will see how far he gets initially, but his career, you know, maybe his career's over, but maybe it's not over. What if he has a great year? You know, I don't think anyone's betting on it, but I think it would help him.
I do too, as well. And Mike, you know, the other person that I have to ask you about when we talk about Hall of Fame, and I know that the in the Hall of Fame now, you have the, I believe it's called the contributors category. Am I correct?
Yep.
The guy that I have campaigned for years now is former Giants general manager George Young. And he never really seems to get any traction as a serious Hall of Fame candidate. And that surprises me a little bit. I mean, do you foresee that ever changing, and can you?
I do. I think he's going to get in. I'm he's one of those guys that a lot of people who are in the league, you know, are like, oh wait, he's not in already, you know. So those spots are precious, and there's a process every year that determines who's up for the vote. And it's not like with players where you have five modern era candidates, and there's going to be five of them every year. So sometimes it's someone else's turn to come up, and I don't think that says anything bad about what people think of George Young. I just think he needs to get in the room again and have the vote, and I would think he would go in.
I wonder, this year, I believe in the upcoming year, because of the NFL 100, there's going to be an expanded number of entrants into the Hall. I'm wondering if this year's a good chance for him.
You know, I don't know from just talking to the guys yet. I don't think we have I don't have a read. I'm not on, the specific committees for that. But I think it's a matter of time. I mean, I just feel like he's worthy, and that Giants franchise really had been in a low place when he came along. And then, granted, that it's not just all him, but he played a leading role in a revival of becoming really one of the dominant franchises again for what, a better part of a decade, I guess, a little more than a decade,
right?
More than that. And usually you drive that kind of success, you're gonna have a chance. I think it's easier if you're the coach that did it, or if you're the best player, Lawrence Taylor that did it. But the executives oftentimes get their due, or at least should.
Well, I'm gonna keep banging that drum and bothering people like you until he gets in. So be warned.
I don't think anyone has anything against him. I don't know of any objection. He just needs to get on that ballot in that slot, and then I would think it would happen.
All right. So, you happened to mention the fact that, the Giants for so long before George Young were in a downswing. I think it was 16 years of not making the playoffs, something along that line.
Yeah, I think it was 15.
15
yeah.
or 16 years of not making the playoffs. And then, now we're in a little bit of a downswing with the Giants again. I think it's one playoff appearance since 2011. When you look at, we talked a little bit about the Giants offseason, so let's get back to, present day a little bit. When you look at Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur, in your mind, are you still confused by what's going on with the Giants, or do you feel okay about these guys as far as getting the Giants going again?
Well, I think those are, maybe two different questions. I feel like what they're doing, they're not the only team that's trying to improve the atmosphere around their building. I mean, look at what the Steelers did, right? I mean, they got rid of Antonio Brown. They're just trying to calm the waters a little bit and not have distractions. The question, I think, for the Giants is, is it too much of a loss of talent? Whereas the Steelers, I think, still have certainly talent in the receiving game. Their quarterback's been playing better more recently. They've got a pretty good defense. I feel like they're going to be okay. For the Giants, gotten rid of some pretty good players, is there enough left to be competitive? And, do you feel like Shurmur and Gettleman are, dynamic leaders to carry you forward? You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think with some organizations, like let's just go with Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin's a dynamic leader in his own way, right? I mean, he is. And there's track record of success there as a head coach. I live in the Seattle area. Pete Carroll drives the success of an organization. We can debate whether he does this right or that right or whatever, but you know exactly what he's doing, and it's proven over time. I think for the Giants right now, that's still taking shape, but do you just feel that automatically with the leadership they have? I don't think you can say that you do, the way you do at places where you feel a lot better about it. And the Giants aren't the only team. I mean, do you feel great about where the Cardinals are at? Who knows? We'll see. But I think that's, in that market and given the history of the team and the personalities that have helped drive success there, those are questions.
No, I hear you there. I think that, Pat Shurmur is not what you would call a dynamic personality. What I think is the deal here is that I think the Giants have tied themselves to Daniel Jones. And my two cents, my belief is that we're not going to know where this is going, in particular with Shurmur. you know, in his long-term future as to whether he's the right head coach for the Giants until we know what Daniel Jones is.
Yep. Yeah, and I'm not one of these media guys who thinks he's a scout and watched the film of Daniel Jones and compared him to this other guy. You know, I feel like I don't have a problem with him taking him six. I know there was debate over, you know, would he be there at 17? That's not really the question. The question is, did Dave Gettleman and the Giants think he was going to be there at 17, right? That's the question. And, you know, they probably studied that as well as, you know, better than you or I did. So if you got your quarterback, you like him. I don't care if you took him 16 or sixth or one. You're just going for your quarterback. So don't have a problem with that. Really, we do just have to see how he plays, how the, you know, the coaching is around him, the team they build around him. Obviously, they've got a good running back. But, you know, do they have good offensive tackles? Can they protect? What's it going to look like? Enough weapons? I mean, those are just questions that I think need to be answered that are going to help or hurt Daniel Jones in the future.
Right. You know, you mentioned the quote, good running back that the Giants had. And obviously we're talking about Saquon Barkley. Can you win in the NFL now when the best player on your football team is a running back?
Yeah, I mean, I think every team's different, you know, and every time a running back gets paid a bunch of money, you're going to see a bunch of people say, well, the running game is not valuable. You know, they shouldn't pay this guy and they should let him go. Well, I personally think they probably should have taken, you know, Darnold as a quarterback in the draft, but you know, that conversation's sort of tired. I think if your running back is your best player on your team, yes, your team can be configured differently than other teams. And now when it comes down to paying him, like the, you know, Zeke Elliott's just getting a deal with the Cowboys, I mean, I think that's another question. And it's more complicated than whether the expected points added of a rushing play are worth the money. I mean, there's dynamics in the locker room. There's, you know, what type of a leader the player is, what everyone else around him thinks of the player, what your overall flexibility is, who else do you have to pay, how old is he. I mean, I don't think it's a death sentence to sign a good running back and pay him, you know, even though the position obviously is not necessarily going to be what puts you over the top.
Right. So let's look at, you know, obviously the season starts for the Giants on Sunday in Dallas. I'm just curious, when you look at the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, more or less the state of the teams in the NFC East, you know, I talk to guys from Dallas and Philly, and they say it's a two-team race and don't give the Giants any opportunity. Just, are the Giants in a place where you think maybe not in 2019, but within a couple of years, can they close that gap and really be on a par with those two teams? Are they headed along that path?
Well, I mean, we just said we don't know what's going to happen with Daniel Jones, so I think that's going to drive it from their perspective. I think what you have to look for is are those other teams coming back to the pack? I think the Eagles have an older roster with a quarterback who's had a couple back procedures. So as excited as everyone is to say they're going all the way, which it seems like a lot of people are saying, what if Josh McCown plays seven games, right? So I think the Eagles are at an interesting spot, a little, you know, with some age on their roster on some key players. And in 2 years from now, they could look quite different. If Carson Wentz is still there and playing great, that's going to buoy them. They're going to be fine. But I still think he has to prove he can play season after season and play with his, you know, most dynamic playing style at the same time before I'm willing to say they're going to have the type of staying power. Now, I think Dallas is set up decently. I know, you know, they're going to be paying a bunch of guys, and that's sort of gotten them in trouble in the past, you know, when they just tried to pay everybody, and suddenly you're, you know, having a bunch of Tony Romo dead money. I think their question is going to be, you know, is Dak Prescott an elevator of any kind, you know? And right now I think most people think, you know, not really sure. I do like a lot of things about their roster. I think they should be good the next couple of years. Almost maybe a little bit more of a stable team to me than the Eagles, who I think are a little more volatile, maybe have a little more upside this year, but some uncertainty and downside too.
All right. Hey, Mike, I appreciate your spending some time with me today. Why don't you go ahead and give folks the Athletic elevator pitch and tell folks, you know, what you have coming up in the pipeline with your work.
Yeah, so theathletic.com, great app, a great value, no ads, just a different experience online all the way around. We got a bunch of great guys. I have recently posted a piece with execs around the league talking about what they thought the one or two worries were for each team. That's posted. There's a lot of buzz around that on the site, and you can check that out. I'm at Sando, S-A-N-D-O-N-F-L, on Twitter as well.
All right, Mike, thank you very much, and hopefully we'll talk to you again sometime soon.
Great. Thanks, Ed.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Our thanks to Mike Sando of The Athletic for spending some time with us. If you guys know the way that I have felt about George Young over the years, you know I've been campaigning for Young. Good to hear from Mike that he thinks that the former Giants general manager will eventually get into the Hall of Fame. Had a really interesting discussion with Mike also about Eli Manning and his Hall of Fame candidacy. Hope you guys really enjoyed that interview. I know that I did. So, Giants fans, please remember to subscribe to Big Blue View Radio on all of your favorite podcast applications. Check out the newly launched Chris and Joe show on Big Blue View Radio, which features Chris Flum and Joe DeLeon as they break down the Giants. Their next show should be coming up. I'm not sure if it's going to be Thursday or Friday, but that next show will be a breakdown of Sunday's matchup between the Giants and the Dallas Cowboys. So, as I said, Giants fans, please remember to subscribe. Check us out on Instagram at @big_blue_view. Check us out on Facebook. Follow at Big Blue View on Twitter. Join the community at Big Blue View to comment with other Giants fans and discuss the fortunes of your New York Giants. Looking forward to Sunday's season opener in Dallas against the Cowboys. All right, we thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.